This call is being recorded.
Welcome everyone to the meeting. Thank you for calling in. Let us start in prayer. Kind Father, we bow before you on bended knee as we approach you in this evening hour as your guardians and our loved ones that join us in this task. It is for us a privilege anytime we can come into your home to receive your word and sacrament as we did this morning. But too, Father, it is even a greater privilege for us when you spend extra time with us and you draw us closer to you, to share intimate details with us, to teach us, to show us things that we didn't even know were there, or to bring a deeper understanding of something that we have known maybe our whole life but didn't completely understand. So we appreciate this time. See the hearts of everyone who has gathered. Provide now, Father, that you would bind anything evil that would bother us, that we can have peace, that we can listen to what you have to teach us, that our hearts are now opened, and that, Father, you'll provide your word to us. And as always, Father, we bow to your will, and according to you, or to in your name we pray. Please hear us, Father, we love you. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Father, Jesus, and HS all give you their love, and I give you my peace. This is what Father had to say. My dear children, a hearty hello, and I give you an extra portion of my peace. What shall we discuss today? Let us speak of you. Many tasks and trials have been overcome. Many struggles have been put down. Faith has increased. But still, some of you lack joy. Why is that? Do you feel as though you are stuck in a rut? Is your life as if you were on a hamster wheel? Nothing changes, and you feel trapped. Life is what you make of it. What are your desires, longings, and what drives you? You will discuss this evening what inspires you to be a guardian. Has the fire in your heart gone out? Is everything just too much for you to focus? Let me give you some peace and strength once again. When Jesus was close to finishing his task, he came to me many times, broken, filled with heartache, and fear too. This is all human. You are human beings. He was able to complete his task and come home because he always put his trust in me, and I was always there to help him. Do you feel sometimes that I am neglecting you or punishing you? Whether that be through health issues, financial, family issues, or faith concerns. I do this for many reasons. One, to cause you to remember what I just said. I am always here to help you. Two, to increase your faith. Three, to set you as a good example for others to follow, be that for someone here in flesh or for someone in the beyond. You are always being watched. Never forget that. After my son is revealed to this world and they find out that you are associated with him, you must be ready and prepared for what is to come. Yes, you will be attacked by the media. You will be made fun of and mocked. Did not your big brother Jesus warn of this to his disciples? You will be no different than them in this case. Well, the one big difference is that none of you will be killed because of your love that you have for Tryland. I can promise you that. Please look back in history. Did I ever forsake the ones I chose to perform a special task for me? I did not. I taught them first, gave them instruction, and continued to protect them. You will always have all of that from me. Fear nothing. Do you honestly think that some human being has the power to change my plan? They do not. I have laid all of this out before time began. I know everything. Sometimes I feel that you put me in a box. You limit me, or you believe that I have limitations. I am unfathomable, an enigma of sorts. Tryland, what does enigma mean? Enigma, a person or thing that is mysterious, puzzling, or difficult to understand. Is that not who I am? The world believes they know me and my sons. I can confidently say that all of you know us, more on every level. This is why I have drawn all of you closer to me. I trust you. I have given you power and authority to serve me and mankind. And none of you feel worthy of this. Again, this is why you were chosen. I do not make mistakes. Trilin will speak to you about Lindsay this evening. Free will, beloved. Free will is what will make or break a soul. Life is choices. You have chosen wisely. Will you commit to me now in this moment? Will you continue to trust me? Can you confidently believe that I have your best interest in mind? Can you remember that I am always here for you? Will you continue to serve me and stand by my son Trilan's side until all of these tasks are complete and the last task, help bring the bride home, is finished? If your answer is yes, then know this. I will keep my word and keep you safe until I bring you home. Your father loves you very much. Does anybody have any questions or comments? Okay. I have a lot on the agenda tonight, so I might have to push off the portion that I emailed you about what inspires you as a guardian. We're going to play that by ear. And I may also push off the part about what was your greatest day, week, or victory. So we're going to play it by ear. But a lot of things have come to light over the last 2 weeks or weeks since I sent that to you. And HS and I spent a lot of time together this past week, and he has given me a lot of information that I would like to share with you. And then I have a lot of things that were on my heart that I wanted to share with you as well. So again, if anybody has any question at any time, or maybe my phone cuts off, please let me know. I would appreciate that. Religions, I gave Atmos again the month off because the boys were baptized today. So he had a lot on his plate. Him and Danielle have been losing their minds. So if you would please pray for them. I know they would appreciate that. I have been talking with Father recently because I've been listening to the Bible on tape that I have, or CD. And many times Jesus mentions hell in Scripture about burning in hell or the fires of hell. And I kind of looked at Father after the fourth or fifth time he said that in Scripture, and I said, but Father, hell is cold. And he said, that is correct, boy. Hell is currently cold, and there is not a soul there, and there is not a soul in heaven. He said, but I will let you know this. The day that Satan is captured after the final battle, the lake of fire is created in hell. And he will be cast into hell and into the lake of fire, because all of hell becomes the lake of fire. And all those who are judged by Jesus and found unworthy are the ones who are cast then into hell. I hope that brings a little clarification for everybody, because I kept saying to him, but I'm writing in my book that hell is cold. And he went, it is. It's bone cold right now, but this is what's going to transpire. Okay? We have also discussed the saying that Jesus said, the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. I would like to redefine that for you. The people that think that they are first are the arrogant ones. They believe they're better than everybody else, and they will be the last ones that Father allows into the kingdom. And those that think that they are last are the humble people. They are the servants. They are the ones who are willing to serve other people, including Father. They shall be the first into the kingdom of heaven. Does that make sense to everybody? Does anybody have a question? I'm getting a drink of water. Go ahead.
I just said I think that cleared up any confusion for me.
Excellent.
It's interesting. I just read that this morning. It's funny. I hit some random verses before service, and I read that. And Jesus was very adamant through Matthew's recording of how he tried to explain that to disciples. Read Matthew. After, I think, I don't know which chapter it was. I think it's after chapter 20, somewhere in chapter 20. I just was reading the, you know, how you put your finger in the Bible. I did it randomly digitally. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he was very adamant about that, and they couldn't get the concept. I mean, it was very funny. But thanks.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. Anybody else? Okay, I would like to institute a new portion that I may bring out over the course of meetings called a deeper understanding. Bear with me now as I kind of broaden that idea. We have been, all of us, most of us, New Apostolic, most of our lives, and we go through a lot of things, and sometimes we don't completely understand why it is we do certain things. I'm going to tell you this, so then I can tell you about that. When I was a young boy, my mom on Sunday mornings would pull me aside sometimes, and she would say to me, you know, Jimmy, if you lie or you sin, the Lord God puts a little black spot on your heart. So now today, you have to look and see how dark is your heart. Now, my therapist tells me I should just take a deep breath and let go of that. So I'm not getting scarred for the rest of my life. But I joke, but my mother was not too far off. When you and I were sealed and the life of the Holy Spirit was implanted into us, we were all given a gift. I need to expand on that a little bit. Jesus told a parable of a master who sent out invitations to a number of guests. And in that time, the tradition was, if you were invited to a party or a gathering, the master then provided to you the garments that you should wear to come to the party. And Jesus said, after a while, the master was walking around and he came across somebody who was not wearing a garment that matched everybody else. And he asked that person how they got in. And they said, well, I just came in. And he had that person bound and cast out. The garment that you and I receive is a white garment on the day you and I are sealed. It is the life of the Holy Spirit that enshrouds you and I. And it is this garment that the scripture speaks of that must be washed in the blood of the Lamb. And when you and I sin, or we do something that builds a separation between Father and I, as my mom used the illustration of a black spot on my heart, it is actually we dirty our garment. Does that make sense? Anybody have any comment or question at this point? Okay. I told you that, and the other thing, so I can now tell you this. We have discussed in the past Holy Communion, some of the elements, or not the elements, the sacraments that we celebrate. So I asked HS if he would spend some time with me and break down Holy Communion and the consecration of the elements and why they are done the way they are done. We all know that Holy Communion is actually Jesus. It represents his body and blood. I have a lot of information here, and if any time you guys have a comment or a question, please stop me, okay? I'm going to stop after each part anyway, but I want to make sure that we completely all understand this because I found it incredibly fascinating. So I'm going to go over what the consecration of the elements is. In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we all understand that this is our Heavenly Father stepping in and through his blessing to the Son and the guidance from the Holy Spirit, he is now consecrating all of this and turning it into Jesus. We all know that. My question to HS was, let me keep reading. I consecrate bread and wine for Holy Communion and lay thereupon the once brought eternally valid sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And I said, what does that mean? And HS said, it is not just for mankind, but it's for Satan too. Because of Father's righteousness, he reminds Satan every day that this sacrifice only needed to be done once, because Jesus died perfect with the sins of all mankind. And through this one sacrifice, it was valid then, and it is still valid today. And Satan has no hold on any soul Father decides to forgive. Any questions? Any comments? Okay. Then I asked, well, why are both names pronounced? Because it's not just the valid sacrifice of Jesus or the valid sacrifice of Christ. And he said, Jesus is the Son of God. Christ is the Messiah, the Savior, the Lamb of God, and the Redeemer. Together, they both validate Father's sacrifice in Jesus. And no one else could have completed this task but Jesus the Christ. Any questions? You guys are just on point today, aren't you? Wonderful. Then it continues. For the Lord took bread and wine, gave thanks, and said, this is my body, which is broken for you. I asked and said, okay, what does this part mean? It is a remembrance of Jesus' love, sacrifice, and the torture he endured for us. It also signifies the mortality and frailty of human beings. And it represents that we too can live on eternally if we eat of his body. In other words, we need to eat meat, Jesus, that is, for strength to live and grow into his likeness. And he personally endured all of this for you. There's that saying, you are what you eat. If you and I are to ingest Jesus' broken body and remember what he did for us, it should humble all of us. And it should remind us of what he went through for our sake, which then encourages us to not sin anymore. Then it goes on. This is my blood of the new covenant, given for many for the remission of sins. And I asked, and what does that mean? Father makes a new agreement with mankind. Atonement is overshadowed or veiled now with full forgiveness. In other words, the Jews used to atone for their sins, and they used animals to atone for those sins. There was no forgiveness. You and I still to this day, we have to atone for the sins that we do by bringing them to Father's attention, by being brutally to the bone with him and honest about what we did wrong and why we did it and how we're not going to do it. But now the beautiful thing is that he doesn't just put them off to the side. They are now veiled in full forgiveness. It presents a shower that cleans us and washes away our sins. His broken body does not wipe away our sins, or he would have said that. Again, I'm going to say it again. His blood, it presents as a shower that cleans us and washes away our sins. His broken body does not wipe away our sins. His broken body feeds us. It feeds our soul. It helps us grow. But his blood, as he made the comment, must be washed. Your garment must be washed in the blood of the Lamb. That's what the blood does for us. And we all know that a human cannot live without water. Jesus is the living water that we need to drink to live eternally as well. Water can quench our thirsts. And I ask this question. Do we thirst to be with Father and Jesus? And water can also be used as a mirror. His blood is the mirror that we use to set ourselves aright, to look, to act, and to become more like Jesus. The mirror is the reminder of we know what we need to work on, basically. Because when you and I are in that moment with him, he doesn't smear into our face all the things you and I did wrong, does he? Prior to us receiving forgiveness of sins or our sins forgiven, we already know what we've done wrong. And never once have I ever had Father or Jesus say to me, you know, you're pretty crappy. You need to get your head out of your poop, or you need to straighten up more, boy. But I have heard Father say many times to me, I need you to try harder. Try harder. Any questions at this point?
So the word the new covenant, that refers to the process of not having to sacrifice animals, essentially, right?
Correct.
Okay. So the new covenant, when they say the new covenant, then that means that the new process that Father has put in place because of Christ's sacrifice.
That is correct.
Okay.
Well stated, because I had a hard time trying to bring that out. So thank you.
Yeah.
Anybody else? Okay. And then the last part is, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this wine, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Amen. When we say that, or hear it, I should say, when we hear it, we are all in full agreement that we will remember Jesus' sacrifice is valid also for us today. And until he comes, we're going to tell everybody about it and what he's done for us. Does anybody have any questions about any of this?
I have one question.
Mm-hmm.
Who created this wording, this phrasing that's used in service?
The apostolate, as far as I know.
Okay.
The College of Apostles. And then it used to be done actually a different way. When I was a priest 15 years ago, the verbiage was different. And then the current, probably, I think, Dan, can you help me out? Was it probably about 10 years ago they changed the verbiage? Or Aquas?
Yes.
Do you guys remember? Yeah.
A little longer than 10 years. It was probably 15 years ago. Time flies. It's hard to know. But it is. It was rewritten after we started using the New Bible as well. Because that was the when a lot of the verbiage got changed, because it used to be, we would use thy and thee, and then it changed with that. The essence of it didn't change, just the wording.
Right, and I don't think it began in the triune name.
And I can't remember. And
I don't think it did.
I mean, I was.
I don't think it did.
I guess I can try to find that stuff. Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think it did. I also think it just started off with, in the stead of my apostle, I now consecrate bread and wine for Holy Communion. I believe that's how it started. We didn't start it with the triune. But
yeah,
anyway, go ahead.
It came into play, it changed right when soon after Chief Apostle Labor was ordained. That's when the new liturgy began. And after... part of it too was the after the priest or apostle, the minister would proclaim the forgiveness of sins. They specifically called the prayer after that, before the consecration of the element, the Eucharistic prayer, as meaning that it was a focus on the sacrifice that the Lord brought, rather than focusing on people needing a job, the weather, the government. It was the main, when that came up, the main focus was supposed to be the sacrifice that Jesus brought and our thankfulness for that and remembering it. And at that time also, that's when the hymn of repentance came into play as well, in order to help prepare for that. And also the consecration of the elements then too was, at least when it first came out, we were taught and told that it was not to be done with your eyes closed, because it is not a prayer, but you're look at the element that you're consecrating and look at the congregation that is in front of you as well. So those were some of the things that came up when, at least in Canada, when this came into play.
Thank you. Does anybody have any other questions about that? I will email this to you, and I will also send it to Fred to post on the website. Okay? I also may incorporate this part in a team meeting now and then, which I have now entitled Worthless but Interesting Tidbit.
Hey, Jim.
I was talking with, go ahead.
Sorry. So I have a book, Questions and Answers Concerning the New Apostolic Faith.
That we got from George.
So I found, it says what happens at the consecration. It says, I now consecrate bread and wine for Holy Communion and lay upon the once by eternally vowed sacrifice. Is that the same that we do now?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, never mind. Sorry, I'm trying to find exactly what everything used to say, but I'm like scouring through tiny books. So never mind.
No, but that is different because it doesn't start in the Triune God. That was the one that I believe when I was a priest. That's the one I prayed. It just started off. We used to put them there in the stead of my apostle. I now consecrate, or your sins are forgiven, actually. But it always started off without the Triune God.
Yeah.
So you can read it. Read that version.
Okay. Says, well, I feel bad. I'm not like a minister. Like, should I be reading this?
No, it doesn't matter. Go ahead. You're going to be a king or a priest, so you might as well get practice now.
Oh, gosh. So it says, I now consecrate bread and wine for Holy Communion and lay thereupon the once brought eternally valid sacrifice of Jesus Christ in the words, this is my body broken and given into death for you, my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you partake thereof, do so in remembrance of me.
That's it. Yeah.
Boom. Tiny book.
But thank you very much.
Yeah.
Excellent.
You should have seen run downstairs to grab like a handful of books.
We appreciate your efforts. Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay. And then there's this part I'm throwing in here, worthless but interesting tidbits. I was talking with Father and Jesus and HS, and Father out of the blue kind of looks at me at one point and he goes, do you know that your brother did not have a name until I sent him to the earth and he had flesh? And I kind of looked funny at him and I said, what do you mean? He wasn't called Jesus? He said, no, he wasn't called Jesus. I said, well, what did you guys call him? He said, he called me Father, and I called him Son, and we both called him HS. It was just the three of us, so there was no need for any names. He said, but because I sent him to earth, then he had to have the name Jesus, and that's when I gave that to him and told his stepdad to name him Jesus. And I went, oh, that's kind of interesting. I'll pass that along. Any questions about anything that I presented at this point? Is this okay with you? Do you want me to continue kind of down this path with these things?
Are you kidding me? We're not talking because we want you to keep telling us more. It's awesome. Thank you.
Okay.
Yes, that's good.
Okay. That's what I want to hear. Thank you. I want to also throw this out here now that I'm in this moment. If there is something that you have a question about or a concern about or would like a deeper understanding about anything, I don't care what it is, and I don't want anybody to feel that I'm going to think you're stupid for asking me this question or trying to find out more information, because I will not think that of you. Because I can honestly tell you there are times where I go to Father with things that I already know, and I'll ask him anyway. Because I want to make sure that I know right. And then I'll bring it to your attention because I want to make sure that you know it correctly as well. And what you can do then is just send me an email, and I will not divulge to anybody else on the team where the question came from, because it doesn't matter where it comes from, okay? I want you to know that you have the ability to ask that of me anytime. And if I don't know the answer of it, I certainly will go spend time with them to get it for you, okay? All right. Wonderful. As I was sitting in the moment of having my sins forgiven last weekend, we were in Chicago for Mother's Day, and I was sitting there and I was thinking to myself, every week for you and I, after we have our sins forgiven, Father now sets a new week in front of us and gives us the opportunity to perfect ourselves. Now, as you and I go into Monday, do we ask ourselves this question? Can I overcome? What excuses am I going to tell myself that I can't? And then let's take it to the ultimate purpose of this whole faith of ours. Do I even doubt that I can even be part of the bride? All of us have to answer those questions for ourselves, but I just wanted to throw it out there. Because for us, Father takes the garment that he gave us the day that we were sealed, and he washes it in the sacrifice of Jesus. He then feeds us, gives us strength, kisses us on the top of the head, pats us on the rear end, and says, try harder this coming week. Now, how much effort do you and I put into that blessing that we just received from Father? And then I'll also ask this question. Do we sometimes take Father, Jesus, and HS for granted? Do we think that they're just going to accept everything and that's okay that I kind of made this mistake and nobody's really watching and I'll get away with it and it's all going to be fine? I don't think any of us thinks that, but HS inspired me to ask these questions, so that's why I'm asking them. I'm also going to ask this question. How active are we? What is it that we're doing? Whether that be having a conversation with somebody or talking with our families about our faith, taking a moment. I can tell you that Starlight and I, when we have dinner together in the evening, she'll spark up a conversation of faith and ask a question. And then we just go on for about 35, 40 minutes. And she'll say to me, I'm asking these questions because I don't completely understand all the time because I'm new in the faith. And I appreciate that my wife has got the boldness to ask these questions and not be afraid. And I'm going to throw that out. There's no wrong. There's no stupid question. And I'll make sure that we have the correct answer. And if I tell you something and it's not right, I guarantee you Father's going to pull me aside and tell me to tell you what it was, like we did with the Adam and Eve thing. Any questions to this point?
Tryland, I do have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's stated that Jesus forgives our sins. Heard it in services before, and I believe we've had this conversation, and you clarified that it's Father. Could you elaborate
Correct.
On that?
Correct. Because everything starts and ends with Father. Father is the one who forgives our sins because you and I pray to him. We apologize to him, and we ask him to forgive us. Jesus was the venue or the vessel. He was the sacrifice that he used to place all of the sins that we did on him, and he sacrificed Jesus for our sake. So, in essence, people seem to think that Jesus is the one who's forgiving your sins. It is by his act that forgiveness of sins is available and can happen, but it is through Father's love and grace that we are able to have our sins forgiven. Does that make sense?
Yes. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Anybody have any other question about that? I'm going to take a sip of water. Okay, in that same vein, do we have conversations about our faith? I'll ask this question. Do we still get lit up like we did when everything we heard was new? Do we still get excited about our faith? Does that inspire us? Do we make ourselves available for those kind of conversations when we're out and about in a circle with different people? I'll also encourage you, I'm going to email this thing about Holy Communion, about the consecration of the elements to everybody. If you want to share that with your families, with any friends that you know, please do. Because it's important that you and I, and this is going to sound horrible and I don't mean this negatively, but there's a lot of religions out there that go through some ritualistic practices and very few people actually understand why they're doing what they're doing. Father does not want blind children falling around aimlessly, just doing everything he says and not understanding why we do those things, which is why we've introduced this a deeper understanding thing. For us, he wants you and I to completely understand all facets of our faith. He wants you and I to have the ability to then now share that information with someone who's brand new coming into the church. And he doesn't want them to be misinformed, because I can tell you currently, there are a number of new members who come into our church and they are given the salt and pepper overlay, gently caressed information about the faith because nobody wants to overwhelm them. But the problem is that they're not actually then, after they get sealed, sitting down with them and explaining to them what it is to be a child of God, to receive the life of the Holy Spirit, to have the privilege to receive the sacraments on a weekly basis, to fully understand why it happens the way it happens. Even today, the minister caught himself saying our name of our church. You want to be a faithful new apostolic. Then he changed. A faithful Christian. I'm sorry. And if I'm going to offend somebody right now, but what I'm going to say, then you're just going to need to get over it. We are not just children of God. We belong to an organization that is called the New Apostolic Church. And the New Apostolic Church is not like any other church on this planet. Somebody texted me this morning asking me what sets us apart. And I literally looked at my phone because I've had many, many conversations with this person. And I thought, you know the answer to this. The New Apostolic Church is the second sending of the apostolate, who's been given the only power and authority to do the things that are currently happening in these sacraments and to receive the Holy Spirit. And now, for some reason, our church seems to be shying away from the fact that we're new apostolics because they want to fit us all in this cookie cutter mold. Because even someone else then contacted me and said, apparently we're not any better or any different than any other church on this planet. We're all the same. We've had numerous meetings and numerous conversations, and Father's enlightened all of us about that. We are not better than anyone else. And we are not exclusive. We're not being exclusive to, I can't even say the word. We're not forbidding someone to be a part of this church at all, but they have to accept the fact that Father laid down a specific path, and that if you want to get into the kingdom as a bride or an overcomer, then that path has to be followed. And I think that's what the big bosses are afraid of saying to people because they don't want to offend them. Well, I'm sorry, if you can't understand that here now, Father's not going to explain it to you some other way down the road. You either have to receive the garment from him. And I'll also say this, the life of the Holy Spirit that's implanted into your soul and the garment that he gives you, the day that Jesus comes and you receive the glorified body, that life transforms that garment into the transfigured body. Does it now make more sense to you why he says, you must be reborn out of water and spirit, or you cannot enter into my kingdom? I hope it does, because that's why we do those things. It's also why you and I have to go ahead.
Well, I just, at this point in time, I just want to make a comment, because it just seems the thing that's frustrating, we hear in services sometimes that, and if Father wants to choose someone else to be the bride, he can do that. And I think to myself, why even say that? Because it's like Father laid down a plan, but he can change it if he wants. And if he wants pigs to fly, they can fly. And I'm sorry for being funny about it, but why say anything? Because we could make up anything that we want and say, well, he could do that if he wanted to. But it's really silly, and it just gets frustrating.
Well, he made a donkey talk only once. I mean, yes, he can do whatever he wants. And he made an animal that doesn't have a voice box to say English or Aramaic words or whatever. But again, it's not like, oh, good, now we're going to start talking to donkeys, right? You're right. It's the exclusivity of our relationship with our Father is just that. It was explained to us many times. And I'm sorry, this subject lights me up and I feel like crap, but I've got to participate. If you're in a neighborhood, remember when kids used to play out in a neighborhood? And if you heard your mom or dad's voice, you would go running. Because if you didn't, you know you're going to happen. Consequently, if we were playing outside and we screamed, mom would come running because she could tell out of all the kids' laughter and enjoyment that there was a plea for help. Our Father is set up a religion, or has set up a religion for us, the bride. Yes, there are Christian religions, and yes, there are things that can be done to participate in the kingdom of heaven. But I think, Dryland, you made it very clear in the last couple of meetings The bride is where we want to be. We don't just want to be there. We want to be the bride. And the exclusivity of our religion will be brought back out of Father's work, of his church. It will be. We have to, and I hate to say this, put up with it, because it sounds like we're some secret organization, like, you exactly. know, the Guardians, we're talking against the church, but we're not. We're holding true. We're holding true to the words that we heard for 60 plus years. And just because we're trying to vanillaize or namby-pamby to make sure that everyone feels good about themselves, right? That's not going to change what the truth is. And again, I apologize, and I don't mean to offend, but this subject lights me up, and Sam and I and Liz, we have talked about it at length. I mean, for hours here, and we will be good New Apostolic Christians. We will keep our mouths shut, and we will follow what we know is true, and hopefully we pray that God's wisdom will come back. And if it doesn't, and this is what I pray, and Father, if it doesn't come back through the ministry, through the church, then we will hold true to what our heart knows is true. And I have prayed that many times. So sorry for being so excited.
Amen. That's the crisis I know and love.
Quiet.
I'm going to shut up now, because that expounded the last bit of energy I had today. Thank you.
Thank you. Does anybody else have anything they'd like to add to that? Okay. We have time to go over what inspires us to be a guardian. I would like everybody to now, that's a guardian, to take a few minutes and think about that. And then the order will be, I will go first. And then I'll ask Starlight, and then I'm going to ask Aquos, and then Nucleos, and then Atmos, then Quasar, then Trisis, and Tranquility Beyond Cleanup. Okay? So you think about that while I'm going to share this with you. I received a text a couple weeks ago from somebody who had a conversation with Lindsay, who used to be on our team. I am not sharing this information with you to smear her name, to put her in a bad light. I even asked Father if I really needed to bring this up, and he said yes. And I'll explain to you why, because it goes hand in hand with his message that he gave us today. In this information that I received from this person, she told me that Lindsay was very angry at me. She believes and told this person that we are a cult, and that she believes she belongs on the team, and we made a horrible mistake by removing her. I kind of, for about 3 seconds, was hurt and disappointed, but I have learned over the 15 years of doing this that a lot of people out of anger will say a lot of things that they don't really mean. And then I've heard the word cult. I actually looked up the definition of it, and I read it to Starlight, and we both looked at each other and laughed. And I said, last time I checked, I don't think you guys are worshiping me and praising me and doing what I'm telling you. We worship and praise Father, and we follow him. So for me, that was a null point. But the idea that she believes that she belongs on this team is a complete red flag for me. And I'll also say, in the time that the three of them have been removed, I have had a number of conversations with Heidi and Jerry. Neither of them have any bad things to say. I haven't heard anything come back around, because I have a spy network out there that is listening. He's called HS. And they aren't saying anything. So I wasn't concerned about what they would ever say, but I was waiting for the other shoe to drop with Lindsay. And I have forgiven her. And then today we were at the Wildemans for the party they had afterwards, for the boys' baptism, and Lindsay and her whole family were there. And I have to tell you, we had a very nice afternoon with them. And she shared a lot of things that are going on with their lives, and the boys' lives, and Brad. We had a nice conversation too. And I didn't feel any discourse at that moment. And when I got into my truck and we were going to drive back home after that, I looked at Father and said, so I don't need to talk about this. then, and he said, you do need to talk about this. He said, and remind the team of something I told you years ago. And it's this. He said to me, boy, when you get into this, you will find there down the road that those people that you thought were your friends are not. And those that you would never have ever considered would be your friend will be the ones who defend you. And when he made his comment that Lindsay freely decided that she needed to put a name on us to help heal the pain that she's in. And the reason why I'm bringing this to your attention is because down the road, as Father said, when this becomes public, people are going to come and personally attack you. And the first thing I'm going to ask you to do is to remember this. These people are afraid and scared. And what's the first thing that a human being does when they're afraid or scared or don't understand something? They lash out at that thing because they don't understand it. And I'm going to ask you to never hold anything against anybody. It's going to take you time. You're going to be hurt. I can tell you, Jesus and I have had many conversations, and because I've been listening to scripture recently for the past 2 weeks, I look at him sometimes after some of the horrible, horrible things that the scribes and Pharisees said to him. And I looked at him the other day and I went, and you instantly forgave him for that. And he smiled and went, yes. I said, you are so much better than I am. So much better. I would have smite them all, but that's why I'm not you. But anyway, this is what you and I need to work on. Father wants you and I to become like Jesus. Now, like I said, he was hurt. It's not written in the scripture how horrible or how upset he was, but he tells me, I was just as human as you guys are. I had the exact same emotions. He said, but I also realized that they were doing it because they did not understand. For me, that was like a light bulb. So when anybody lashes out at you and me, that's why. Let's remember that. They just don't know what you and I know. And they can say whatever they want. And as Father said, do you think some human being can change his plan? Give me a break. There's no way. And if they think that they can hurt us in some way, like he said, I will keep you safe. And the bonus was, none of us are going to die because you love me and you support me and you're helping me out here. I thought that was awesome for Father to let you know that. But you already knew that. That's not why we're doing this. Does anybody have any question about this? Okay. I will start. What inspires us to be a guardian? For me, it would be the same thing that my brother said to me. I took on this role because I love Father, and I did not want to disappoint him. For me, what also inspires me is that when you and I do Father's will, the feeling that I get in my heart, whether it be a little conversation that I have with somebody, or an energy healing that I give somebody that changes their life, or someone doesn't even know that when I shook their hand, Father laid into them a little extra something through me. What I want ultimately is to go home. That is what inspires me to do what Father asks of me. And I'm going to stop there because I don't want to steal everybody's thunder. So, Starlight, please.
My reason is along the similar same lines, but it actually, I didn't know how to put it into words until this past week. And Traylon and I were having a comment or a conversation, and it was a rather emotional comment. And I had said that I love my son more than I love myself. And I stood there in that moment, and I've just sort of chewed on that for a little while, because it was one of those moments where it was very profound for me. And all I could think about was the love that Father has for us. And I feel truly blessed to be able to feel his love. And I want the world to be able to feel the way that I feel, and to know about him, and to be educated, and again, ultimately, to be able to go home. And I would say that, I mean, it's it's sort of cliche, but the reason that I love being a guardian and doing what I do is because of love and because of our Father.
Awesome.
I'm done.
Aquos?
Can you hear me?
Yep.
So growing up, my family and I were always faithful, and I watched my grandfather, and I watched my uncle, and I watched my dad, and how they served. And then I watched what happened to my dad. I watched how men went down to see him, and they forgot who they were. They forgot the power that they were given, the authority that they were given. And I would stand there with them, begging. You know, I'd be yelling in my head, begging, just remember, you can do this. It's not that complicated. And then wishing to myself that I could just help. And now I can. And, when you watch a loved one suffer, there's nothing like it. Like Starlight said, with her son, loving her son more than herself. But when you're able to help a loved one, there's also nothing like it. And the feeling that you get seeing them better is reward enough. And being able to do that, not only for my dad, but you open your eyes and you see how many others need it. That's motivation enough. And it's more of a, not a motivation, it's something to be thankful for. So that's what keeps me going.
Thank you. Nucleos?
For the longest time, I've found joy in helping other people. And from the day that Triland extended the offer to join the team, my main thought regarding being a guardian is, what better way to help people than to bring them closer to our Heavenly Father? And especially after meeting so many people within our church, I mean, I am relatively new to the New Apostolic Church, and after meeting other people who are almost just as new as me, I'll use Joel Phelps as an example, and seeing his level of faith and how it inspires other people to be faithful as well is my inspiration. I mean, if other people can do it, why can't I? And what better way to help and serve others than to be a guardian and protect them?
Thank you. Atmos?
I guess what inspires me is honestly Father, and the love that he has for me, and the drive that puts in me to serve him the best I can. Even from just being a little kid, I always knew that there was something more that he wanted me to do, and coming through elementary school and heading into high school, I always thought I was supposed to become a Lutheran pastor, and I never did it, but there was always that relationship there with God. No matter how far I may have strayed from the church, there was always that relationship there with Father and Jesus and HS. And I think that's what that kept me going until I finally found my home at the New Apostolic Church. And then, like Nucleo said, when the offer was extended, it just felt like the last piece of the puzzle for me and my ability to serve Father. That was where Father needed to meet me to be in it. And it just overwhelmed my heart with joy to know that Father finally put in front of me what he truly needed me to be doing. So that's what inspires me.
Wonderful. Thank you. Q?
Yes, I was on mute. Sorry. What amazes me is that I never had any idea we could relationship with our Heavenly Father the way that we do now. It just, even when I think about that, it's hard to still comprehend that we can go see Him and He talks to us and He works on us and with us. And He helps always there. It's just, when we think about, I mean, I've been a minister for a long time. I was a subdeacon before that and a deacon before that. And ever since I came back into the faith after college, I was on fire to a degree, but it just kept, the flame just kept getting more and more. And what's so beautiful is that Father just gives us that joy, as you talked about, Triland. When you were saying the things that you were saying, I looked at Cindy and said, that's what we just said, just before the conference call. It's the same thing. It's just that fire and the love for Heavenly Father and the fact that He pulls us along and leads us and takes care of us. And then we can go talk to Him. Are you kidding me? It still amazes me. And then to think that not only does He give that opportunity to have a relationship like that, but that says, hey, here, let me give you some power and let me show you some things. And here, go take care of them, protect them, and I'm going to give you the ability to decide how to do it. And it boggles the mind. But being able to do it in this capacity and helping the bride to be completed, I can't think of a better way that anyone could do it. Surprised that He chose me to do it, but I'm going to do it to the best of my ability.
Thank you. Trisus?
It's funny, he read my notes. almost verbatim. Darn it. I'll start out with this. I was almost, honestly, I've written it down. He said almost everything I was going to say. So let me say this. I've been with Triland as supplanter for many years from the beginning. And my happy task was to support him. And in 2011, when he asked me, driving on the turnpike coming out of south of Madison, or not asked me, but he says, I know who the next guardian is. And he did that weird, creepy, turning the head sideways thing and looked at me at 75 miles an hour, not looking where he's going on the turn. I'm like, what? The ability to protect the bride, I have not been a minister. I was a subdeacon for years. But I add on what Q said and think about this. To protect the bride, that task is given, if you think of royalty or the Secret Service, super intelligent, super strong, super human beings, men and women, that have given one task that will take a bullet for somebody. We're not being asked to take a bullet, but we're being asked to protect the bride. That's what motivates me. I get tired and our bodies can be slow, but our minds, if you think about that, being able to protect the one and only is something that I use to be motivated every day. And think of it this way, and even Q brought it up, to be able to share how close Father is. In a thought, we can be with Him in the throne room. To know that Jesus is right there, we can call on the Holy Spirit and instantaneously be with Him and have Him right here with us. And if you could put your fingers close together, think how close He is. He's not sitting on a cloud. We can teach that to everybody who wants to know. That's what motivates me. Thank you.
Thank you. And Tranquility.
Can you all hear me?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. You picked last, and oh my goodness, that's going to be hard. But
we'll give you the most to think about.
My first inspiration, actually, is that I would never want to disappoint our Heavenly Father. So that was my inspiration, even though at the time when I was asked, I felt very unworthy. My second inspiration or what keeps me going is, it could be the look in a child's eye. It could be a comment that someone makes. Today, someone made a comment. They sat beside me. They wanted to tell me something, so they sat beside me. And then they made the comment, whoa, it feels really good to be sitting beside you. And so those little signs that I get makes me feel good that I'm helping out with our Heavenly Father in little tasks to make people feel better. And yes, the Bride of Christ, but also even people that we meet on the street, or people that I see at school, or even in a grocery store. It's just that look that they give me, and then I know that I'm on the right track and that I'm fulfilling Father's will. And that's what inspires me.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for participating. Our next team meeting will be on June 9th, which is actually Pentecost Sunday at 6:30 as usual. I've asked Nucleos to close today, and I have decided that from this point forward, I don't need to pray after one of you prays, because I open it and then I'll have one of you close it. And I know that HS will inspire all of you to pray what needs to be prayed. So, Nucleos, please.
No pressure, Eric.
Thanks.
No pressure.
Go.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this opportunity to be joined with all of the guardians here in this hour. We are so eternally grateful for all that you have bestowed upon us, for all the blessings you have given us, for the strength that you give us on a daily basis to do your work. Dear Father, please continue to be with us. Remind us of who we are and what our purpose is. Please be with those in eternity who suffer, who do not yet know your grace. Help us, Father, to bring your light to them, to show them your love, your hope, strength, and determination. Father, please, I don't even have the words. Father, be with us. I know I've said it. I feel the need to say it again. I feel as though we forget that we are always in your presence. Help us to remember, Father, that you are always with us, no matter what. We are never alone. And we know, Father, that no matter what, no matter the hardships we go through, you, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit are always with us. Please guide us in our daily lives. Protect our loved ones. And bring us home soon. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen. Well said.
Amen.
Thank you, everyone. Amen. Love you very much.
Love you too. Have a good week.
Have a good week.
Love you guys.
Bye.